All right, welcome everyone. We have an update from Aaron Day, who is, I believe, in Puerto Vallarta following one of the conferences there. So welcome, Aaron. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to join me. You want to give us your rough location and the situation there right now?
Yeah, I'm in Puerto Vallarta, and we've been down here for about a week. We've actually been in Mexico for 2 weeks, hitting a bunch of conferences down here. We hit Mineratopia first, and then we were here for Anarchapoco, which is usually in Acapulco, but they moved it here. And yeah. Actually, it's been a terrific week up until today. This area is actually one of the safest areas in Mexico, or at least historically has been. So, it started out weird this morning, which today is actually the last day of the conference. So everything went great. We actually had that kind of the final wrap up dinner last night. And then this morning, we were getting ready to go to breakfast. And, you know, my wife and I are looking outside and there are like these three huge plumes of smoke. And, you know, my wife's asking the maids or whatever, you know, what they think is going on. And they didn't respond. They wouldn't give us any information. They were just sitting there looking at the, you know, looking at the smoke, just like we were. And so then we went down for breakfast and I had my iPad on me or whatever. And I searched the news to see what was going on because it just seemed like it was a fire. I didn't, you know, see, but there was quite a bit of smoke that was actually carrying over all the way over to where we were, and didn't hear anything, didn't find any news stories about it. The hotel said nothing about it. In fact, to this day, I mean, we've been here all day. This has been going on for more than 12 hours and we've heard nothing from the hotel. No wow. Notice anywhere, no letter under the door, no telephone call, nothing, which to me all remains very bizarre about this whole process. And so we go out to the, we rent a cabana and we're out there trying to get some sun. And I've got my iPad on me and I see Dan Dix, his feed comes up. And, you know, and I actually saw the video and I thought maybe he was joking because the title of it was, you know, cartel violence in Puerto Vallarta. He has this really nice background where it's just the beach and everything. So I thought he was maybe joking. But I listened to it anyway, and it turned out, lo and behold, there's all of this stuff going on and explosions everywhere. And, you know, and then we finally begin to learn about what happened. So it's been a very odd day.
Indeed. And I just spoke with Dan a few minutes ago, and he said that they're being told that the government might turn off the power temporarily, probably to try to dissuade the cartels from using, you know, cell towers for coordination.
How recent is that? Because I heard him say that probably 6 hours or so ago, but I haven't heard any new updates since then.
Well, I don't know how old his information was, but he told me that just literally 15 minutes ago.
Wow.
So who knows, right? Who knows? It's a sketchy situation.
Well, yeah. Well, so it's finally started to unfold and we started to learn what was going on. And I guess, one of the largest, you know, cartel heads or whatever was taken out. And then, you know, there's still some question as to how much involvement the U.S. government had. And that people, I think, are still trying to track down. But then this is all retaliation for that, or at least this is what the popular story is right now. I honestly don't know what's actually going on, but we could see smoke everywhere. And you know, the people that are attending this conference are spread out. We're not in one venue. We're in all different venues. So people at the conference were trying to get a hold of each other, and people have different vantage points. And so, you know, I mean, sure enough, they're lighting stores on fire. I think there's a Costco here that they started exploding cars, and then they actually set the store itself on fire. And so, you know, putting up blockades everywhere. And then, you know, they would start to issue these threats. If by such and such a time, you know, at some point, I think it was by 5 p.m. if their demands hadn't been met. And I think their demands were they wanted the release of the body of the cartel head that was assassinated. And then on top of that, they wanted. Okay, they have his son. And then, you know, I guess the other thing is they want the person responsible for this. They apparently want to do something with that person. So those are the demands, but the demands have not been met, and they haven't started to do what they said they were going to do, which was actually break into homes and break into hotels and start hurting civilians. So this was the threat that was issued for 5 p.m. So we've been sitting here for the last 4.5 hours waiting to see, you know, how that plays out. And my understanding is that the Mexican military has actually ramped up their efforts. And so we have seen helicopters out our window. So I guess, you know, some reinforcements have come in. But there's no notification. There's nothing on the local news. Like you actually have to get into a Telegram group or Dan Dix or whatever. Like it's just unimaginable how little information is coming out of the government, the police, or even the hotel.
Uh-huh.
The hotel still hasn't even acknowledged it. I mean, we ordered room service, but it's almost like they've been instructed to not speak about the event at all. And as we're sitting here and we look out over our balcony, there are people there that have been out at the pool and like out at the beach all day as if they didn't know what was going on, as if there's no information. I mean, I guess maybe if you didn't have Dan Dix on your feed while you were out at the pool, you might not know what was going on.
Well, but surely they could have seen all the smoke because it seems like there were a lot of fires going.
There were a lot of fires, but the fires were the worst this morning, actually. Uh-huh. So that's where it was really heavy. I mean, like 7:30 in the morning, 7:30, 8 uh-huh. o'clock in the morning was when it was really bad. It got better over the rest of the day. So it almost seemed like it could have been a building caught on fire and they put the building out. Right. From our vantage point. So this is why we weren't overly worried about it. Again, when we saw the smoke and then I checked the news and I didn't see anything major and then the smoke subsided, I didn't really think there was much to worry about until later on in the process. I'm looking at my iPad and I'm like, hey, we should probably go up to the room.
I've seen footage from the airport. The Guadalajara airport, I believe, that showed people panicked and screaming and running. There have been many videos of automatic gunfire. What have you seen or heard yourself in terms of gunfire or explosions, if anything?
We've heard a little bit of gunfire that's kind of faint from the distance, and I think I heard one small explosion. Like it wasn't all that loud. And frankly, it could have been something else. You know what I mean? I mean, it was that faint. So I think where we're located and the fact that we haven't, we obviously haven't journeyed outside of the hotel property. We haven't witnessed it that close, but we do still see smoke. I mean, we actually see smoke from both sides of the balcony and then the other, the hallway. We can see that, but that's still fairly distant from where we're located. Now, I was supposed to give a talk at 2:45, and at another venue, and I got notified in advance. Well, we already knew what was going on, but I actually just ended up giving the presentation via Zoom. So, I guess there were some people at this venue. And they decided to continue in Zoom format just because they thought that it might calm people more to continue with the program than I guess to just have everybody freaking out.
Okay. So you don't have any way out of there right now. Do you have any information that would let you know how you're going to leave?
We don't. And I mean, I've got a double whammy here, actually. We were already facing logistical problems because I'm flying back to New Hampshire, but that's through Boston. And this morning when we were checking, I think maybe they've changed the forecast a little bit, but they were looking at up to three feet of snow in Boston.
Oh, my.
So we weren't going to be able to fly. We were supposed to fly out tomorrow. And then, it, you know, through, you know, California and then take a red eye or whatever, we were anticipating that, you know, we'd be home Tuesday morning. And that was already kind of preemptively canceled. So we were already in the process of changing our flight reservations and had actually decided we were going to extend a couple of days just because we couldn't get back. But as it stands now, I mean, yeah, it's looking like maybe Thursday. The airport is closed. Right now, the airport is completely closed. And when we went to go rebook the flight that we were supposed to be on tomorrow, they said that the earliest thing that they had was Thursday. And then, you know, we have a connecting flight in California. And the earliest flight we could get from California back to Boston was Friday because of the shutdown on the East Coast. So, I mean, if everything goes well, we'll be back home by Friday.
My goodness. I mean, okay. That just seems, yeah, double whammy. Like you said, that's the best way to put it. So what, first of all, are you posting about this? How can people keep up with you?
I've been posting a little bit. I've been posting in text. I haven't really wanted to share my location. I'm still not going to share my location. And I'm not going out and doing, you know, I'm grateful for the, I hope Dan stays safe, but you know, I don't see a lot of ROI going out and filming this activity, but you know, we will be providing updates, on X. So at Aaron R Day, certainly as we learn more, of course, you know, most of what I'm learning is actually coordinating with other people that are from the conference that are here that have a different vantage point or at different facilities. I am in a Telegram group that turns out to be pretty interesting as well. So, but I will say it's actually the best information out there. There is no, you know, quote, professional reporting or any media
right.
that is providing any useful information whatsoever. They're recycling 6 hour old information.
Can you send me that Telegram group link through
the
way we communicate? I'd like to tune into that as well. Is there anything that people can do to help you and others there who are stuck at the moment?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, just send positive intentions and that kind of thing. But I'm not sure what to do. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm this whole thing seems fishy because I'm sitting here and, you know, there are rumors that we're going to bomb Iran tomorrow. And I'm just wondering, the timing on this seems really suspicious. And I'm not throwing out any particular conspiracy theory, but if we are about to attack Iran, if the U.S. government is involved in this, which there are conflicting reports on this, CBS reported that we were, but that's not exactly a source of factual information. Why would the U.S. engage in this and support the timing on this, knowing that this location is a prime destination for U.S. citizens during spring break, and also knowing they're about to engage in a conflict in the Middle East? That seems really odd to me, because you sure. would have to expect, if you launched a mission like this, you would have to expect that there was blowback. And by the way, the reporting on this for the first, you know, I don't know, say from 7 o'clock in the morning until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you can see some other videos on this. Like the cops were nowhere. There was like no resistance to what was going on whatsoever. It was almost as if, you know, they were standing down. There was nothing going on by way of countering the cartels, which, you know, again, wouldn't you have to expect this kind of retaliation?
Well, yes. But the other factor is, I've heard from other sources that there appears to be a mobilization of U.S. military forces out of bases in California right now, headed for the southern border. So I'm wondering if this is some kind of setup for Trump to justify military operations against the cartels.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I've also heard the idea that, you know, Mexico maybe tried to force the hand to get help. But again, nevertheless, the timing on this, if you believe the stuff that's going on in Iran and all of the resources and assets that we're putting there, we're kind of overstretched. So, yeah. But maybe that is the case.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
As I, you know, honestly, my talk today was about technocracy. So even though I'm here now, and this is not a great situation, I'm already against whatever AI surveillance or whatever they want to put in place to track us more as a result of this activity.
Absolutely.
Because we can anticipate that that's going to come, right? Everybody, you can already see, you know, Laura Loomer, you can already see the debate and everything else. And people are calling for, you know, all kinds of additional border control. But I mean, it's going to lead into, I mean, Loomer hasn't done it yet, but last time something happened, she was calling for Palantir drones on the West Coast somewhere. So,
oh, wow.
We need to calm down on that a bit. I mean, you know, the war on drugs has been going on for a long time, and this has not been a particularly effective conflict for the United States government to engage in. I don't know why they think maybe it would be different this time, or maybe they don't think it's going to be different, and they're just using it for an additional pretext to continue to accelerate the technocracy, which has been going full steam ahead with Real ID, backdoor CBDCs, now the Clarity Act coming up. You know, it was interesting. I was at a meeting a few weeks back, and this was right after the whole thing with Venezuela, and people were talking about the fact that it was odd that initially the whole pretext for this was about, you know, stopping the narco-terrorism, and then all of a sudden, once we got into it, we even dropped that all together and just said, no, this is about oil. We actually stopped even trying to have some, you know, moral component to it. And in the end, Trump was just blatantly outright saying it's about the oil. So we seem to have a shift in our language and in our policy.
Well, Venezuela was clearly about the oil. And the other question, well, I want to be respectful of your time, so we'll wrap this up shortly. But Mexico is a primary provider of silver. And if the silver mines or the transportation from the silver mines gets compromised, that could have some very severe industrial and economic implications.
It could, or, you know, is this being done so that we can come in and take these things over? I mean, we seem to be, right. What are we doing in Iran? I mean, listen, I'm seeing this again, you know, how many times does this have to be recycled? Oh, you know, Iran is one day away from a nuclear bomb or whatever. It's like, we've been hearing that for decades.
Yep.
And at some point, you know, it's all just manufactured for some ulterior purpose. I don't know what it is yet. I mean, I will say I'd be very curious to see how, you know, I've talked a lot about Howard Lutnick and the stuff going on with Tether. But, you know, Howard Lutnick's been out there promoting these tariffs while at the same time Cantor Fitzgerald, the firm that he started, was betting against it. I guess just made billions of dollars on the Supreme Court ruling. So I think it'd be good for somebody to analyze the markets and see who placed any bets that benefit from what's going on here. That to me is always a very telling, that's probably the most telling thing about what's actually going on. But I don't know what that is yet, but that to me is a good place to go to start to look.
Absolutely. All right, Aaron, please stand by. And I want to give you an opportunity just to, you know, for your website. You already mentioned your Twitter handle, but how can people follow your various, you've got a couple of sites. Want to share those?
Yeah, I mean, we've got six sites, but you can access them through daylightfreedom.org. And, you know, some of the really good ones, there's Technocracy Atlas, which is a website with, which unfortunately I can't access because I can't access my remote system. So I need to update it, but it has all the Epstein files, all of the offshore leaks, Panama Papers, that kind of thing. It's a tool for people to crowdsource research and kind of follow the information. And then there are other tools. There's a medical tourism marketplace called oasana.com and my podcast and so forth. So I won't go through all six of the sites, but you can get to them at daylightfreedom.org.
Perfect. Okay, Aaron. Well, we're praying for your safety. And I'm so thankful that you took the time to spend with me here. And I want to also tell the audience, you're the one other person that totally understands AI like I do. And in a world where in America, people keep rejecting, you know, the machine cognition advancements. You get it and you're applying it. So I want to thank you for that. And I look forward to you getting back home soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll do our next one on AI soon.
That sounds great. Okay. Stand by. Don't hang up yet, please. And to our audience, thank you for listening. We've been speaking with Aaron Day, and you can catch more of my updates and videos at brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thanks for listening.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.